Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 439. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you.
You know what I could have done with right now, but we didn't get organised? A lovely cup of tea.
Cup of tea.
A lovely cup of tea would have been nice.
That would have been nice. You're so mean that you don't provide.
I'm so sorry about that.
I can't believe it.
I know, it
is. I'm going to call HR.
Okay.
Ring, ring. Hello, Steph.
Steph. Too funny. Oh, that was good. We have to get really good at knowing everything there is to know about Martin Short.
For a quiz?
Yes. By we, I mean you.
Yeah, now I'm really wishing that I had started the documentary.
That's fine. I will tell you all about it later on during the watching suggestions.
Shall I take notes for answers to questions?
Oh, maybe.
Okay, I'll try my hardest.
But we don't have any time for that kind of stuff yet. We have to get into something I like to call the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
So there's a game that's come out, I think this week, called Mixtape.
A game.
And I'm pretty sure it was made by Aussies.
Mm.
And it's set in the 90s in America, though. And it's got it's basically about teenagers.
Yeah.
So it's more like a story than a game. But, you know, there are game elements in there as well. But a big part of it is about music, you know, making the mixtape. And there's been a lot of talk about, you know, is that where most of their budget went, which you would assume.
Oh, the rights for the music, yeah.
You know, and they apparently have also written down their dream mixtape, but they just couldn't, you know, it would have been astronomically expensive try and get all of that. Anyway, I heard that they had Devo, Smashing Pumpkins, all those, and you know, some Mondo Rock, a couple of Aussie bands in there as well. But apparently... Mm-hmm. There might have been a couple of songs in there that had to be delisted due to music licenses expiring. And this was kind of like the rumor.
What's that mean, delisted?
It would mean that mixtape would be – the game would be delisted, meaning you couldn't buy it.
Oh, because of the licensing.
Because of the licensing issues. But Annapurna Interactive, who is their publisher, has actually put out an official statement saying, we heard some people say mixtape would be delisted due to music license expiring. That was a lie. Have a great weekend, everyone. Oh,
okay.
So it looks like you can still get the game, still play it and enjoy it. It's one of those kind of coming of age games, you know, or like those stories, I should say, not just
That's the impression I get from it.
Yeah. And there
bunch
was
of teenagers over summer.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I saw a little bit of gameplay where they were running in the fields, but then they started to fly.
Oh.
And the guy that was playing it was like, oh, yeah, this is, I understand what they're doing. You know, that feeling of freedom, like I'm just running in the fields. Right. I'm fit, you know, because I'm a teenager.
Because I'm a teenager, I can without my lungs exploding.
And then you feel like you're almost flying if you're running down a hill really quickly.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like fun. I'd like to check it out. It seems like a nice cozy game to play.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what Russell Crowe's up to next?
Always. That is one of the things that I wake up in the middle of the night.
What's he up to?
What's he doing this lately?
Doing? Well, he's hanging out with Rose Leslie, who was in Game of Thrones. She was the You Know Nothing Jon Snow character. And anyway, they're going to be in a action drama called The Last Druid. It's going to be filmed in Barcelona and the Canary Islands, which are also part of Spain. And it looks like he, as in Russell, will be playing a peaceful Celtic leader who must take up arms to protect his family and people from annihilation. So I think it's to do with the Roman Empire again.
Sounds like
But he won't be a gladiator. He'll be, you know, a blokeyator.
Yeah.
A helpiator.
Helpiator.
So back to, I mean, that would also make sense why Rose is there, because she's got that lovely red hair, so she would be
historical.
A Celt.
it's going to be.
Yes, definitely historical drama. So look out for that one. And speaking of Game of Thrones, Natalie Dormer, who was the smirking, did she make it to queen? I think she was queen. I think she became the queen. She was definitely a princess. Gosh, I'm trying to remember exactly what happened back
who's
in.
Who's who and
yeah,
when.
Yeah, when. But she had a great smirk about her. Anyway, she's going to be in a movie called The Big Fix. That's got Mark Wahlberg in it. And apparently it's inspired by a true story based on a book. So I don't understand why it's a true story based on a book. Shouldn't it be a book based on a true story?
I read a book. I'm going to make a movie about it.
That's it. It follows a former Interpol cop in a bureaucratic role at FIFA who uncovers an international match-fixing scandal and launches a high-stakes mission to stop whoever is behind it.
Because it's about a real company.
So they got
based on.
I don't know why they didn't start this earlier and have it released in time for the World Cup. This is sort of I bet you anything they were trying.
They tried.
They were trying really hard, but it just didn't happen.
I mean, it keeps coming around the World Cup.
Every four years, isn't it? I think it's like the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games just go on. So we will look out for that one. Out of those two, which do you think you would be more interested in watching?
Oh, okay. That's a tough choice because Russell, does
Aussie,
good stuff.
Aussie done good.
But then a bit of intrigue.
Yeah, this one sounds a bit exciting,
doesn't it? Yeah, even though, I'm not a soccer.
Nah.
But.
Yeah, I mean, apparently it's got stuff like the Chinese triads in there.
Gosh, I hope it's done well because that's the one I'm choosing.
It sounds exciting. Mm. All right, we'll be watching that one. And then if we've got, an evening, we'll watch the one with Russell Crowe.
When you wake up being like, what's Russell doing? Oh, that's right, I got the movie. I'll watch it now. I should probably watch
that one. We have a Martin Short quiz coming up for us very soon, but now it's time to get into the watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
What do you mean watching?
Oh, I was so glad you asked me first because I was going to get in anyway.
So good.
I have watched a new Netflix movie based on an incredibly successful book. It's called Remarkably Bright Creatures.
Mm.
This book has been on my TBR. It's been on for so long, but I've just never gotten to it or it wasn't available. You know, that kind of like didn't have the book. Wasn't available at the library, had other books to read. So I just kept kind of going, that's a good thing about a book. You can always come to it. Doesn't have to be read right away, you know?
Is it the kind of book now where you have watched the film, do you still want to go back and read the book?
I do.
Okay, cool.
I do. So I was a little bit worried because I'm like, I want to read the book, but don't I want to watch it? And then I couldn't quite remember what it was about. And I thought, well, maybe watching the movie is a good thing.
Yeah, okay.
It was a good thing.
Cool.
And if you're not into reading, don't skip the movie. It's really heartwarming, beautiful, gorgeous scenery, some really sad moments that make you have a little bit of a tear, and it all just gets wrapped up in the end that you go, oh, that was a nice ending. I don't want you to turn away on this bit or anybody else, but it's narrated. The book and the movie. It's narrated by an octopus.
Aren't most document books?
Yeah. I just don't want people to go,
an octopus.
What is going on with this?
Yeah.
So the octopus is one of the main characters. And we know the octopi are very, very intelligent, hence the remarkably bright creatures. But he's looking on to humans and trying to figure them out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's in an aquarium, not a big, massive city aquarium. An aquarium in, I actually don't even know where it's set, but it feels like kind of Nova Scotia.
Okay.
Beautiful lake, oceany regions, not beach regions. And it's this little town and there's a little aquarium in there that look after the animals. They're lovely to them. But the octopus, Marcellus, is very much aware of his captivity, as he would be because he's a remarkably bright creature.
That's true.
So he obviously watches everybody and observes them and observes the other fish who he looks down on the whole time. But there is an old cleaning lady who comes every night to clean the tank, and she talks to him, just chatters away, that sort of thing. And he knows he's coming to the end of his life. He knows he's an aging octopus, but he sets out to solve the problem of this cleaning lady and fix the hole in her heart in some way, which sounds crazy. I know you're like, this is a stupid show. It's an octopus.
Yeah.
It all just weaves its way so, so beautifully. And to see how humans and another intelligent species can come together and essentially communicate without ever talking.
Yeah.
There's nothing sci-fi about it. It's like a real fiction.
Heartfelt.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's really lovely.
Who is there anybody in it that would be like, ooh, who plays the octopus?
Yeah, who plays the octopus? The cast is massive, and I think this is the tipping point that got me to watch it, is the cleaning lady is played by Sally Field.
Oh, we
feels like
her.
It's been a long time since I've seen her, and she's just as incredible as she always is.
I only saw her a couple of nights ago. I'll explain why later.
Martin Short. Okay. It also has a whole bunch of faces that you'd be like, oh, my gosh, it's them. It's them. Like Kathy Baker is in there. Lewis Pullman is one of the other big characters who is, I'm sure I'm correct on this, is Bill Pullman's son.
I think so.
Yeah. He's really cool. Just lots of faces that you go, oh, my gosh, them. Wow, they got them. Yeah. Really fantastic film. Calm, easy to watch, beautiful story. On Netflix, highly, highly recommend.
Oh, that's one of the biggest highly recommends that you've done for a while.
Yeah.
Like this one just, is obviously
hit I you. Feel like it's one of those stories that you don't expect. Mm. It doesn't have any flashbang crazy things going on. It just flows beautifully like water, like the ocean that these animals would exist in.
Yeah.
It just is done so well, and it's no wonder the book is so incredibly successful.
Well, you have to try and find it at a Lifeline book fair one day.
I will, definitely.
Or the library, I guess. I watched a couple of documentaries about comedians.
A couple?
Yeah. I have this one, admittedly, I watched probably about a month ago, and I've been holding on to it because I thought, I want to team it with another one. And this one was Mel Brooks, the 99-year-old man. It was, I think there was maybe two parts to it. It was on HBO, and it's about, well, it's about Mel Brooks. It's about his story, his life. He's interviewed in it. It's actually directed by Judd Apatow.
Oh.
Yeah, and there's so many people in there being interviewed about how he has not only inspired their careers, but also like working with him as well.
Yeah.
You can imagine he's worked with so many people, including Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Because for us, I'm speaking for you as well. My main reference to Mel Brooks is Spaceballs.
Yes.
And
Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is in it. And I think they interview, well, apart from John Candy, but I'm pretty sure they interview a few of those.
But interesting, because there was a John Candy doco.
Yes.
Not too long ago.
Yeah. It's interesting how all of those big, massive movies with those big, massive comedic actors, and they all started or have worked with each other so many times.
Yeah.
They're all connected. They all know each other. Yep. And
imagine the dinner parties.
Oh, I know. And Mel Brooks is 99, and he honestly reminds me of our grandfather, who was
100% could imagine
so eccentric,
that.
Always after a joke, always trying to beat everybody to the punchline. And this is what Mel Brooks is. He's had some highs and lows in his career in terms of career path successes, as you can imagine in Hollywood.
Mm.
But then, you know, there were movies that he directed that are just absolute classics and movies that he directed that I've never heard of because they weren't really comedy movies. And I'm like, I wouldn't mind trying to find that just to watch it. He's not in all of them.
No.
He's directing them.
And is Judd Apatow connected to Mel Brooks in some way, or he just picked up this up and said, well, this is kind of my
look. I'm area. Not 100% sure what their like that what their connection is, but there definitely is a connection mm-hmm. in that they know each other. You yeah. can tell it's yeah. it's obvious.
So awesome.
Whether they've worked before or they've you know just encountered each other over the years, but he really. I didn't know this because, like I said, my main point of reference with him is just Spaceballs. But he really leans into the fact that he is a man of the age where he would have gone to – where he did fight in World War II, a Jewish man fighting in Germany in World War II. So he does a lot of making fun of Nazis.
Okay.
And, you know, talks about being Jewish a lot.
Yes.
Which you can imagine going to – that war, participating yeah. in it, of course you want to yep. sort of sing from the rooftops.
Absolutely.
Yeah. His love for his wife, Anne Bancroft, who is, you know, no longer with us anymore.
I did not know they were married.
Because maybe she seems really serious, right? Yeah. She's a serious actress. They apparently got on.
Like a house on fire.
Absolute soulmates, not only yeah. from what he said, but what his kids said, what yeah. people they worked with said. Absolute soulmates. It was really nice to watch. It was just, it was nice to get to know somebody who is such a big name mm-hmm. in for decades mm. and get to know them a little bit more.
And for their accolades, not scandals.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, so
yeah.
often the docos are because something happened.
And then this happened because yeah. that. Yeah, no, it was really good. It was on HBO. I definitely recommend it.
Fabulous.
What's the other thing you've watched?
I have been watching, and I think you might be a little bit jealous.
Oh.
I've been watching season 23.
I can't believe there's 23.
Of Top Chef, The Carolinas.
Oh, it's good.
Oh my gosh, it's such a good show.
I want to start watching that season.
You've got yeah. to. They have just renewed for season 24.
Cool.
So that's a great, great
the
sign.
Day that show is cancelled, I'm just going to be shocked.
Yeah.
It's just a winner. The whole, like.
It is a winner. And it's interesting that it is a winner because the formula is very similar year after year after year.
Mm.
But they haven't yet made it feel tired. Which no, is interesting, yeah. isn't it?
It's great.
So there is the new host, Kirsten. Mm. She's not brand new, so this is not her first season.
About three yeah. seasons now, something like that.
She's fantastic. I think the thing I really like about her, and don't get me wrong, I loved Padma, and I will never compare the two, but I really enjoy their differences.
Mm.
Kirsten has this absolute relaxation about her where you can see she makes a joke in amongst the scripted
oh sure
intros.
Yeah right
just
I
little
get you.
Comments that you go that's you in a nutshell as a person. There are times in this season where some of the contestants are facing quite I guess serious but with a big question mark over the top of it, illnesses and injuries, okay. things that are happening and, you know, yeah, as a contestant right. on a massive show, they're trying to battle through it.
Yeah.
And there are scenes where Kirsten will come in and she's not dressed to the nines. She hasn't had a stylist. She's wearing jeans and a backward baseball cap and she's just herself and
definitely
she's like,
not Padma.
How are you going? Like, what's happening here? What can we okay. do for you?
Yeah, right.
You know, what's the best decision? That sort of real naturalness where production has obviously gone, we need to step in at some stage and check in. And she's like, I'll do it and I'll do it as a normal person. And yeah. really lovely and amazing. So they are in the Carolinas. Most of it is filmed around Charlotte, North Carolina, but then they do go to Greenville, South Carolina. As an Aussie, it's really interesting to see the different cuisines and ingredients and things that we just have no idea about. Like there were different grapes. I can't even remember the name of them, but ones we've never seen
funny.
Before. And some
yeah.
of the contestants have never
oh,
seen
okay.
before. Yeah.
Interesting.
As I always say over and over again, all roads lead back to Bravo, and it is a Bravo show, Top
yep.
Chef, but
yep.
they bring in two of the people from Southern Charm, which is in Charleston, God. South Carolina, and they're the guest judges for
oh,
one of the
okay.
episodes.
Yes,
it's
yes.
just,
okay.
It's funny. It's like, oh, yeah, there they are.
There you
Why
go.
Not?
That's them.
Why not?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I do like that show. Once you get into it, you can't stop watching
it. Can't stop watching it, but you know
Addictive.
What? 23 seasons, if you've got a long flight or something that you just want to put on while you're cooking yourself in the kitchen, a background thing, you've got 23 seasons to go through.
I do like that show a lot.
A nice little back catalogue is always a bit fun, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure there are seasons I haven't watched.
100%, me too.
So many.
And great that you can dip in and out because the formula is similar.
Yeah, you know what you're getting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Speaking of knowing what you're getting, I knew that when I started watching the Martin Short documentary called Marty, Life is Short, this one is on Netflix, I knew that I was going to get to know a little bit more about Martin Short. Because
just a little bit.
I've been watching Only Murders in the Building because I was a bit behind. So I've been watching them on and off. Oh, geez, it's good. Such a fun show. They're so good together, you know, the three of them. And it makes sense that Martin Short and Steve Martin are good together because they've been, you know, around for years and years and years. I remember, I don't know if it was 10 years ago, but I remember recently-ish that they did a tour, a show tour together where they would sort of be on the stage together.
Yeah,
and I'm sure they came here.
Did they?
And I really wish that I'd done something about that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I don't think I knew until it was already happening.
It's funny because for a long time there it felt like, you know, Steve Martin was the big Hollywood success actor and Martin Short appeared in every single one of the movies. Like he always just appeared.
Yes.
And wasn't a cameo. It was still a full character.
But he wasn't the leading character.
He wasn't. And he was just so incredible in all of them, but no, he has his own.
So funnily enough, he was saying that he is not a jokes comedian. He is a character comedian. So he will play a character and make it so ridiculous that it's funny.
Yeah.
Where he won't be like, oh, the other day I.
No.
Because do you remember he used to dress up in a fat suit and pretend to be that film critic and he would interview actual famous people who I realized a lot of them were his friends.
Yeah, of course.
During this.
Of course they did.
And the similarity between him and Mel Brooks is that he also was married to the love of his life.
Yes.
For years. She passed away of cancer. I think it was 2010. So, gosh, that's 16 years ago.
But he had, I don't want to say exceptional in a good way, but an exceptionally tragic run of people passing away in his life. Like, his mum died when he was very young, his father a few years later, his brother, then his wife, and I think earlier this year or late last year, his daughter passed away as well. Like, that's a lot of tragedy for one person.
Yeah, and he's just still so happy. I mean, obviously he's putting on, you know, he's showing us Martin Short, the public Martin Short, public-facing Martin Short. But he bought this house, a holiday house in Canada, because he's from Canada, and there's so many home videos of him filming people. You name it, they were there. Like Eugene Levy, Tom Hanks,
Catherine O'Hara,
Steven Spielberg, of course, Steve Martin. Just so many famous people. Goldie Hawn.
Oh yeah, 100%.
And they were all there for like Christmases and just.
Doesn't Steve
summer
Martin
holidays.
Have a quote maybe from the doco where he's like, if you were going to have a dinner party, if
– and Martin was coming.
Like, if Marty can't come, you cancel
the dinner.
You cancel
it, yeah, exactly. Yeah, because he really does look like the life of the party. It looks like, you know, that there'd be dozens of kids there because all these couples come along and they would all want to – be entertained by Martin Short because he was just so funny
and
hammered up for the kids.
So clever, isn't it?
Yeah. So it was just lovely to see all these really famous people and getting to see the history of them and that they're all still really good friends.
And good friends, like not rivals.
No.
But
no, they're in it together.
Yeah.
So nice.
And they're out for each other's success.
Exactly.
Not out to get them, but out to celebrate.
Yeah, to celebrate and to encourage. Do you want to do a quiz about him?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I think I've used up all of my knowledge.
It was good though. It was very good. First question is, how old do you think Martin Short is?
76.
Yes.
Get out of town.
26th of March, 1950.
Gosh, I feel like that just came to me.
That was really, really good. Yeah. I am actually thoroughly impressed with you. Do you want me to slow clap you?
Not yet.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
We'll just hold off then. Okay. His mother, Olive, was also quite creative. What was she involved in? What part of the arts?
She was a singer.
Oh, close. She was a concert mistress at the Hamilton Symphony Orchestra. Very close.
Oh, that is close.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very big deal. Okay. Now I'm going to have to start asking you some important questions. And if you don't get them right, you're in big trouble, mister.
No.
Yeah, you're feeling stressed out.
A little bit.
Okay, especially because you didn't watch the documentary.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you a synopsis of a movie that he was in, and you need to tell me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What the movie is and potentially what his character would have been.
Okay.
Blank falls down a rabbit hole and finds herself.
Alice in Wonderland. He was the White Rabbit. No. He was the Mad Hatter.
He was the Mad Hatter. Of course he was.
I take the White Rabbit back.
Yeah, that was a ridiculous answer. 2000, I think.
He was the Mad Hatter. Of course he was.
Of course he was. Why would he not be that?
I get that point because there was definitely no full stop in my talking. That was one stream of thought.
How many seasons are there of Only Murders in the Building?
Five.
Yeah, there's five of them now. What's his character's name?
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh.
Do you need a clue?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oliver.
What's his favourite food?
Yogurt. No, dip. It's dip. Dip.
It's dip. Dip. He just likes dip. Just likes always dip. Has dip. So cute.
Do you know where the yogurt came from? Because it's like their dips are very big tubs in.
They're massive.
They're massive. So in my head it's like, oh, that's the shape
so
of it.
Big. I just don't get it. What is his character's name in Father of the Bride?
Oh my gosh. I've gone blank.
No, really?
I can hear it. Frank.
Yeah, Frank. So apparently, okay, well done. You did horrendously well with Martin Short, even though you haven't actually watched a documentary. Now, but the thing about Frank, the character of Frank, is he was mispronouncing words and they were like, no, we can still understand you.
Do it more. I couldn't love that more.
Isn't that great?
I couldn't love that
more. Oh, it's so funny. Speaking of love, I love.
But how clever is that to go, yeah, okay, I've got the script. Now I'm going to mispronounce. I don't think my brain would work that fast.
I have watched it recently-ish and I have just watched his mouth.
Yeah.
Because it's fun watching it and not really paying attention to what he's saying because you're not supposed to, right?
Yeah.
You're supposed to be like Steve Martin where you're like, what on earth is going on? But when you actually really properly concentrate.
He's saying proper things, yeah.
100%. It all makes sense. Oh, it was, a great documentary and a great quiz. You did very well. And are you going to go back and watch Top Chef now?
No, because they only release one episode a week.
Oh, you're up to date, bugger. All right.
I get really sad about
that. I'm sad on your behalf. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
You're welcome.